funeral merchandise? Don't buy or sign anything until you and your family have all the facts. Consult the Thomas M. Steichner Funeral Home in Chicora before you purchase anything. The Steichners have been in this business since 1972 and are experts in pre-arrangement, right down to the last detail. Details that you may not be aware of. The Thomas M. Steichner Funeral Home in Chicora walks you through the entire process, explaining everything, and most often will save you money. 100% of all pre-need purchase money is placed in a trust fund in the name of the person buying the merchandise and service. So before you decide on anything, be sure to call 445-2200. That's 445-2200 and talk with Tom Steichner or Tammy Steichner, second generation of the Steichner family. Pre-arrangement by the Thomas M. Steichner Funeral Home in Chicora. Go ahead. Give them a call. Do it today while you're thinking about it.
Well, looks like you got a nice day today. Enjoy it with a high of 85 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight with a low down to 65. And you got some sunshine, although we'll hang on to a small chance of a shower, maybe a thunderstorm as we get into Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. A high each day, averaging just about 85. 79 right now in downtown Butler. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Feels like summertime again, doesn't it? Yeah, it's already 80 degrees, and we're looking at mid-80s, maybe even upper 80s later today and tomorrow. Wow. Well, technically, it is still summer, you know, for actually almost two more weeks. First day of autumn is September 23rd. That was 2 weeks from yesterday. So, yeah, it is still summer, but we don't ordinarily get a heat wave like this, especially one that's going to last 4 or 5 days as we approach the middle of September. Enjoy. We have several guests on the program today. We're going to be chatting in just a couple of minutes with an educator, Dana Stahl, who is going to be talking about learning issues and some tips for parents who are worried that their kids, especially their younger kids, may have some sort of a learning issue, whether it's a anxiety or a learning disability. We'll talk with Dana Stahl in just a couple of minutes. Also, later on the program today, there is a local walk to end Alzheimer's coming up here in Butler. It's this weekend. So we'll get the details on that from a representative from the Alzheimer's Association. And then our final guest on the program today, we'll be chatting with him by telephone from New Mexico. His name is Michael Curran, a man who lived in the Butler area for some 25 years. And then about 12 years ago, he moved to New Mexico. He was a newspaper man, a freelance journalist, but now he has turned to fiction writing, and he's cranked out a mystery thriller novel. So we'll talk to him. It's a good human interest story. We'll chat with Michael Curran a little bit later on the program. We have a busy day lined up for us here today on It's Your Turn. We'll chat with our first guest in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program here today is Butler Motor Tours. You know, they're already booking trips for the upcoming fall and holiday season. Mm-hmm. Here's something interesting. An enchanting foliage cruise and a jack-o'-lantern spectacular. It's in late October. You'll take one of their big luxury coaches down to Indiana, southern Indiana, along the Ohio River. There'll be a river cruise on an old-fashioned riverboat, the Belle of Louisville. sailing down the Ohio River. Beautiful foliage around every bend. When you get to Louisville, there'll be the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular. Over 5,000, that's right, 5,000 carved pumpkins. And there's some other stops, too. The backside of Churchill Downs Racetrack. Nice trip. Also, talking about the holidays, how about a breathtaking Biltmore Christmas? Biltmore by candlelight. That's down in Asheville, North Carolina, and that's a three-day trip right before Thanksgiving. Or maybe a Smoky Mountain Christmas, a four-day trip down to Tennessee in early December. And many more trips, too, for the holiday season coming up. Available through Butler Motor Tours, a local company there on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around for more than 75 years. You can check out all of their offerings online at their website, which is butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tours, online at butlerbus.com. We'll talk to Dana Stahl, our first guest, in just a moment.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Listeners, coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be chatting via the telephone with our next guest, Dana Stahl, author of the ABCs of Learning Issues. There are a lot of kids these days who have learning issues, as many as one in five students. Dana, first of all, welcome. What was it that inspired you to write this book?
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Sure.
I was inspired to write the book because I had learning disabilities as a child, and I really understood what it is that children go through as they negotiate and navigate their way through the school system. I was dyslexic, and in 1963, the term dyslexia was coined, but it was a struggle because people did not know what it was. And one day, many years later, a learning specialist said, "You're a very bright young lady. You just need another way to learn, and I'm going to show you." And right then and there, I understood that this is what I was going to do. And the ABCs of Learning Issues is the culmination of everything that I have learned along the way, working with families and with professionals and with students.
And again, this is a significant problem here in the United States. As many as 20% of kids experience learning issues of one sort or another. What are some of these issues, Dana? Is it just anxiety, or are there other problems that they might be experiencing?
You are absolutely right that so many children in the United States are experiencing learning disabilities, and one in five have anxiety, attention, or learning issues that impede and adversely affect their ability to learn. Learning issues range in reading, writing, math, as well as in processing speed, working memory, and, of course, if we are anxious and we're not able to attend to tasks, then we will not be able to process the information being presented.
Well, your book, The ABCs of Learning Issues, is, of course, a very practical guide for parents. What should a parent do, Dana, to properly diagnose and assess their child's abilities or perhaps shortcomings?
The parents should absolutely bring to the school their list of questions and concerns. After all, the parents know their children better than anyone, and they are their child's best advocate. So parents should go to the school and work directly with them, promoting a homeschool partnership.
Well, kids are back in school now. Everybody has started the new school year. I want to talk a little bit about this anxiety issue. I can remember, you know, being very anxious when I was getting ready to take an algebra test or something like that. Apparently, some kids get anxious even just about learning, you know, about reading and other stuff.
They do. It is anxiety is internal, and the anxiety that we feel is a normal part of life, but sometimes anxiety is linked to the internal pressure that students place upon themselves, as well as how they perceive their family members' and teachers' expectations of them. So this anxiety with regard to performance is important for educators and parents to understand together so that they can develop strategies that will help to lessen those anxieties so that the students are able to demonstrate their competency and their level of knowledge on papers and tests.
We're talking with Dana Stahl, author of a new practical guidebook for parents entitled The ABCs of Learning Issues. What about reading? This is important not only in its own right, but really learning how to read at an appropriate level is important for all the other subjects. What can parents do? What steps can parents take to improve their child's reading rate, Dana?
Reading is the key to everything. It's said that in kindergarten to second grade, we learn to read, and from grades 3 to 5, we read to learn. And learning how to read is imperative to having the foundation for everything that's going to be presented to us. Children who have difficulty with reading rate read. It takes them much longer to move through the passage. Reading rate is usually measured and calculated by the number of words read per minute, but it's influenced by a number of factors, such as the purpose of the reading, the level of the knowledge of that particular material that they're reading, and what parents and educators can do to help increase reading rate is that they can read material that is below their level so that they can feel comfortable and confident and just move through it and increase their fluency.
Our guest, Dana...
It won't matter what they read. They could read comic books, magazines, anything.
Dana Stahl, with whom we are chatting, is an educational consultant, a child parent advocate, and a learning specialist. I want to talk a little bit about parent-teacher meetings. This could cause some parents anxiety. They're not quite sure what to say or what to ask. You talk about that in your book, do you? You talk about questions that parents should ask when they have a parent-teacher meeting.
Absolutely. Parent-teacher meetings are an opportunity for parents to go into the school and say, these are my observations. This is what I understand my child as a learner and as an individual. Are you seeing this in school? And parent-teacher meetings are about 20 minutes long. The teacher has things that they want to address, and so it's important for parents to take the time to make a list of questions and concerns that they have. Categorize them. If you think that there are social concerns with regard to bullying, ask and say, is my son getting along well with his peers? Is he sought out during structured or unstructured time? Does he have one or two friends with whom he feels comfortable? And if the issues are regarding attention, find out, are they attending to their class discussion? Do they seem to be engaged? Are you able to bring them back to attention? And work together with the classroom teacher to ensure a positive homeschool partnership.
You have gone on to get a master's degree in education, but as you mentioned earlier, you struggled with learning issues as a child. You had dyslexia. Can you tell our listeners who might not be familiar with that term just what it is, dyslexia?
Sure. Dyslexia is a reading disability, and it can cause all sorts of difficulty with the ability to have reversals. it has mirror imaging problems, and so the word dog may appear to be God, and the certain letters can have relation, B and P, and can be reversed and upside down, and it's very difficult for children to learn to read who have dyslexia. And it's important that they have other avenues in which they can understand what it is that they are reading.
Just two more questions. Our time begins to run short. Do you have any advice for parents who feel that something might be wrong with their child, but they're not sure just exactly what or how to handle it?
When children's parents are not comfortable understanding what's going on, but they sense that something is, they need to go to the school or their pediatrician and discuss their levels of concern. By doing this, they will develop partnerships with the schools to help them through the child study teams, the Committee of Special Education. There will be a panel of people who will be able to sit down with them and discuss it. Speech-language pathologists, psychologists, social workers, occupational physical therapists. But it's most important for the parents to understand that they are a partner with an equal voice sitting at this table as they are their child's best advocate.
And finally, Dana Stahl, where can someone go to learn more about you and about your book, The ABCs of Learning Issues?
The ABCs of Learning Issues is available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. And to learn more about me, my practice, you can go to EducationalAlternativesLLC.com.
Dana Stahl, if you're looking for her online, it's STAHL. Thank you, Dana. Nice to talk with you today.
Thank you, Dave, and have a great day.
And you too. So long. Much more to come on the It's Your Turn program as we move through our schedule here today. We're going to be talking next with a representative from the Alzheimer's Association, which is it's actually a national organization, but they have a local office in Pittsburgh. And we'll be chatting with Nathaniel Sofranco. There is a walk to end Alzheimer's coming up this weekend here in Butler, so we'll be getting the details on that. A quick program note, tomorrow is the sad anniversary of the terrorist attacks on the United States, September 11th. You realize how long ago it was now? 18 years. Yeah, eight. Wow, seems like yesterday, doesn't it? So vivid in our memories of the aircraft crashing into the World Trade Center towers and the Pentagon and Shanksville outside of Somerset. So vivid. But it was 18 years ago tomorrow. Yeah. We're going to be talking about that with Garrett Graff, who has done quite an intensive study about the history of 9/11, the terrorist attacks. You got to realize there's a whole generation that's now growing up of young people who are not even alive when this happened. You know, young adults who are 18 years old, they weren't even alive. So it's a pretty good study. We'll talk about that with Garrett Graff tomorrow on the anniversary of the terrorist attacks. 9/11, 18 years ago. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center, located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, which is right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road in Butler. And you just go into the mini storage complex there and follow the signs, and bada boom, you're at Going Postal Butler. I've utilized their services on a number of occasions. They package your items for shipping, and it is such a convenience. You don't have to worry about finding the right size box or envelope or bubble wrap or mailing labels or that special tape or anything like that. Just take your items to Going Postal Butler. They'll package them up and ship them out, either U.S. Postal Service or UPS or FedEx. That's your choice. And it's very affordable, too. They offer other services as well, copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Something has to be notarized before it goes out. They're open Monday through Friday. Goin' Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center in the Stocky Mini Storage Complex, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road in Butler. It's Goin' Postal Butler.
Auto accidents can be a terrifying experience. Injuries can occur at an impact of just 2 to 3 miles per hour. If you've had an accident, it's time to visit Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center. Doctors Lucas and Detweiler specialize in treating accident-related injuries from whiplash, soft tissue pain, and headaches to shoulder and arm pain, reduced range of motion, and disc damage. Let the professionals at Applewood Chiropractic provide you with the necessary benefits to aid you in your healing process. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thorn Apple Drive in Butler. Visit applewoodchiro.com.
Next on the It's Your Turn program here today, folks, I'm Dave Malarkey. If you're just joining us, we're going to be talking about Alzheimer's disease and in particular an opportunity for you to help in the research against Alzheimer's in a walk this weekend. Our guest visiting with us by telephone is Nathaniel Sofranco. He is the Butler Walk Manager for the Alzheimer's Association. Nathaniel, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today, sir.
Nice to meet you as well. Thank you for giving me a call.
We want to mention straight away, in case there are some folks who are listening in the car and they've got to leave us before we wrap up, there is an Alzheimer's Association walk this coming weekend here in Butler. Can you give us the specifics on that, Nathaniel?
Yes. So the Butler Walk to End Alzheimer's event is a free event taking place this Saturday, and it will be at Butler County Community College. We have our registration starting at 9 a.m. with the ceremony at 10 and the walk taking place right after the ceremony.
And how can people register if they want to participate?
So people can register by going to alz.org/walk. And on the website, they can search for the Butler Walk itself and register as a team or to be a volunteer for us as well.
Okay. So you don't necessarily have to have a team. You can be a solo, huh?
Right. We have a lot of families and businesses that participate on teams, but we also have many individuals that come out on their own. And maybe it's their first time coming to the event, so it's a great way to get out there and learn about what the event is and learn about the association as well.
Have you had the walk to end Alzheimer's here in Butler in the past, Nathaniel?
Yes, we have.
And has it always been at Butler County Community College?
Yes, it's been at the community college for about 5 years now, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a wonderful walking trail out there. I assume that's what you're using for this.
Yes, it is. We set up in one of the back parking lots. So if you're familiar with the college, we direct people to parking lot 6 to park their cars, and then they walk down to the event, go through the registration process, and then the walk takes place along the path around the college.
Now, this is all going to happen this Saturday. What time did you say it was getting underway, Nathaniel?
Registration starts at 9 a.m., and then we have the opening ceremony taking place at 10 a.m., and then the walk around the campus will take place directly after the ceremony.
Those who are participating this Saturday will we'll use some flowers, promise flowers. What's that all about, Nathaniel?
Yes, so part of the ceremony, we talk about our promise garden. And with the promise garden ceremony, every participant that comes and registers, they go through the registration process and pick up a promise garden flower that represents their reason that they participate in the Walk to End Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So there's 4 different colors that people are able to use to represent their reason. There is orange for those people that don't have an immediate connection to Alzheimer's or dementia, but support the mission of the association. There is purple for people that walk for someone they have lost to the disease. There is a yellow flower for people that are a current caregiver for someone with the disease. And then we also have a blue flower that represents people living with the disease itself.
Where will the funds go that are raised in this Walk to End Alzheimer's this Saturday here in Butler? How will the funds be used?
So the funds go to support our programs and services we have, and there's a lot of those that are, there's a different variety of things that go directly to people with the disease that are of no charge. And then it is also put towards research programs in, as well.
The fear of dementia, and there are other forms of dementia besides Alzheimer's, but this is it is a real fear for a lot of people, isn't it? Especially as they approach their senior years, Nathaniel.
Yes, there's a stigma attached to the disease that drives that fear in most people, but with the research that has been going on, there's a lot of positive outlook for the future of the disease.
Alzheimer's has been around for a while, but I think it really came front and center in the consciousness of Americans when former President Ronald Reagan announced that he was suffering from early stage Alzheimer's many, many years ago. Would you agree?
Yes, I would.
What do we know?
And the association also raises awareness for the disease with those stories as well.
Research is ongoing into Alzheimer's. Is there anything new recently with regard to the research into the cause?
There's always something new and exciting going on in the field of research. So for more information, you can get that on the website by going to ALZ.org/PA. And then we also have our 24/7 helpline that can help, that has clinically trained professionals with the ability to provide information in over 200 languages. The number for that is 800-272-3900. And you can get information for support groups, crisis calls, and information on research from there as well.
Alzheimer's has now become the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. Nathaniel, do you have any ballpark figure on approximately how many Americans are dealing with this disease?
In Pennsylvania alone, there's over 400,000 that are dealing with Alzheimer's and related dementia, and 5.8 million across the nation as a whole.
Wow. And, of course, in addition to the people who are actually suffering from Alzheimer's, then we have the family caregivers, and this is a real burden for them too, right?
It really is, and the caregivers are an excellent resource for people living with the disease. There's over 675,000 caregivers alone in Pennsylvania providing that assistance.
Do we have any hope for the future for coming up with maybe even a cure for Alzheimer's? Is that anywhere on the horizon, do you think?
Yes, there is always hope that we have in the future in terms of research. And as part of our Promise Garden ceremony, we represent that hope with a white flower that is signifying the first survivor that we are striving for with the disease. And that will be part of the Promise Garden ceremony on Walk Day itself.
Does Alzheimer's only affect older people, senior citizens, Nathaniel?
No, it does not. While it's typically for people 65 and older, it does affect people that are younger than that with younger onset Alzheimer's.
A lot of folks, when they forget where they put their car keys or their reading glasses, they start to worry that it's the early stages of Alzheimer's. That's not necessarily the case, right? Everybody forgets things every once in a while.
Right. That is not the case for everyone. So those are simple things that can be forgotten. But that is not necessarily something that signifies Alzheimer's.
Is there more information on the website about the actual symptoms of Alzheimer's that people or family members could look for?
Yes, there's a resource called Know the 10 Signs of Alzheimer's, and you can find that on the website, which again is alz.org/PA.
Tell us about the Alzheimer's Association. How long has it been around, Nathaniel?
It started back in 1989. And has been growing stronger ever since in terms of being able to provide more of the resources nationwide, especially locally, as well as funding that research.
I'm reaching you in Pittsburgh. Is that the regional office here in our region for the Alzheimer's Association?
Yes, that is the local office for this region, but we have six offices throughout Pennsylvania.
There is a walk to end Alzheimer's that will take place this Saturday here in Butler at Butler County Community College. Nathaniel Sofranco is the Butler Walk Manager. Can you go over the specifics again for people who may have missed the beginning of our conversation, Nathaniel?
Sure. So the Walk to End Alzheimer's event taking place in Butler on Saturday will take place at Butler County Community College. If you are interested in registering as a team to help raise funds and awareness that supports our programs and services, such as the research going on, you can go to alz.org/walk. And for this Saturday, registration starts at 9 a.m. at the community college, with the opening ceremony taking place at 10 a.m., and the walk takes place right after the opening ceremony.
Will you be there, Nathaniel?
Yes, I will be there loud and proud with a bunch of energy, hopefully, because it's going to be an early morning for all of us. But I will be there, and I look forward to meeting everyone coming out for the event.
How long are you going to walk?
It's about a two-mile route, so we'll be going around the campus, enjoying the beautiful scenery, and learning more about the Alzheimer's Association and the disease as well.
Thank you, Nathaniel. Thanks for talking with us today. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me with you as well. I look forward to seeing everyone at the walk.
All righty. We'll see you on Saturday. Thanks again. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is the Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home. It's the Butler area's newest funeral home, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill. It sits just down over the hill from the state police barracks. The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles and types and levels of services that others are not willing or able to offer. A much higher standard at a much lower price. Let them help you offer families what you truly deserve: quality options, honest service, fair pricing, viewings, visitations, and funerals from $3,000, cremations from $1,500. It's an entirely new idea. It's local, run by a hometown man, Spencer D. Geibel. Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road. You can call Spencer D. Geibel at 724-287-4042. Not affiliated with any other funeral home.
Do you love home cooking? Me too. And that's what Michael's Restaurant specializes in. From homemade soups to daily lunch and dinner specials and the legendary desserts. Every Friday night, Michael's features prime rib and crab legs for you to enjoy. Hungry for Italian food? Try Michael's Diablo pasta or seafood scampi. Michael's Restaurant, Newcastle Road.
Concordia Visiting Nurses is a Medicare-certified home health agency offering services provided by healthcare professionals like registered and licensed practical nurses, physical, speech, and occupational therapists, home health aides, and many more. We also provide specialty services like palliative care and telehealth monitoring. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
We have an interesting segment coming up, listeners, on the It's Your Turn program today. I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking with a man who once lived in Butler, but now lives in New Mexico, and he's an author. His name is Michael Curran. Mike, nice to meet you. It's great to have you with us on the program here today.
Well, nice to meet you, David, and thank you for having me on your program.
Well, it was kind of a happy accident that I found out about you. A gentleman by the name of Phil Lovrick wrote me an email, and he said,
"Yeah,
you know, there's a veteran who is from Butler, now living in New Mexico, and he's a writer. Would you like to talk to him?" And I said, "Absolutely." So I got in touch with you, and it's nice to hook up with you and chat here for a few minutes today.
Well, briefly, I lived in Butler for about 25 years, so it was a nice experience. I lived out in Criswell Road, and I miss certain parts of that, especially my old friends, and I hope some of them are listening. And then I relocated to southern New Mexico about 12 years ago. So this is where I am now, and I was a newspaper man for a number of years, and then the opportunity came when I retired. I had to figure out what I was going to do, and so I had this novel kicking around within me for years. So I said, you know, I'll dust that off in a couple of months. I've written thousands of words, hundreds of articles. Well, I'm here to tell you that I learned fiction is a lot harder than nonfiction, and it was a lot of fun writing it, a lot of work. too.
Well, we want to talk about your novel. The title.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dave.
No, that's okay. What's the title of your novel, Mike?
The title is Connor Race, C-O-N-N-O-R, Race, : The Tontine Plot, T-O-N-T-I-N-E. And my last name is spelled Curran, C-U-R-R-A-N, Michael.
Yeah, if you're looking for him online. And there are
you can find it on Amazon.com Books and Barnes & Noble and some other places.
So we'll talk about the book in just a moment. A little bit about you. You said you lived in Butler for about 25 years, but you weren't originally a native of this area. Is that correct?
Well, I lived in Pittsburgh for a number of years in western Pittsburgh, and then came to Butler, and I liked it. There are fewer distractions there. Let me put it that way. And even less in New Mexico.
Were you a journalist Were you a journalist when you lived here in Butler? Did you write for a newspaper?
A feature writer. I'm sorry, Dave.
Well, we have a little bit of a delay here. Obviously, we're going through a satellite cell hookup, so that's okay. We'll live with that. We'll live with that.
I'll try not to talk so fast.
That's quite all right. So you were a newspaper writer when you lived here in western Pennsylvania?
Sporadically. I was, I don't know the correct word for it. I can't remember right. But here and there, I tried to sell my articles that I wrote. You know, and I didn't have a lot of success. But then I came down here and, I don't know, things were laid out for me like they were meant to be. I don't know. It's mysterious to me.
Well, freelance journalism is not the easiest thing in the world to do. Did you move to New Mexico because of a job, or you just always wanted to go there? Or that's quite a move from Butler to New Mexico.
Tell me about it. I didn't even know where Rio Doso, New Mexico, was. But long story short, I had a young son, and I put him in New Mexico Military Institute in Roswell, and he was having culture shock, so there was nothing holding me up there, so I just came down here. And that's that story.
I forgot about Roswell. That's in New Mexico. Are you anywhere close to that, Mike?
I'm an hour away. You know, Rodoso. But down here, things are far apart, and the cities are like an hour, hour and a half, something like that. It's a nice area. It really is. I didn't like it when I first came here, but I grew to like it. Well, and the main thing is I was able to write for some mysterious reason. I don't understand. I was fairly prolific, you know, in my writing and that. But again, writing nonfiction is completely different than doing a novel.
That's for sure. Well, tell us about Connor Race, the Tontine plot. First of all, Connor Race, that's a guy's name, right?
That's the protagonist's name, the hero's name, yes.
Mm-hmm. And he works for something that you call the American Security Agency. I assume that refers to the CIA, but you use a different name, right?
No, it's ASA, that's correct, and it stands American Security Agency, but it's a made-up organization in my mind, and it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't, the CIA doesn't play a part much of one, and the NSA does not play much of a part either. Although this organization is sworn to protect the rights of all individuals in the United States, regardless of race, creed, color, or politics, and they adhere to that.
And your protagonist, Connor Race, is a covert operative of this agency, the ASA?
Yeah, he's one of the heads. Not the head, but one of the heads. And they run missions all over there. In fact, the first chapter starts in South America, Bolivia, on a place called the Death Road, which actually exists. But if the reader reads that first chapter and thinks that's what the book is about, that would be wrong, because the other 28 chapters take place in southern New Mexico. And it pertains no gratuitous sex or profanity, but I did that for my own reasons. I look back at Hemingway, and not that I compare myself to them, but Hemingway and Poe and the rest, and they wrote exciting stuff to me, and they didn't use those two things.
Yeah. Yeah. One of your other main characters in the book is Shay DeCassidy. Mike, who is she?
No, it's a she. And as a matter of fact, she's basically what the novel's all about. And she's a young, alluring, spoiled 24-year-old, and she's in southern New Mexico and living a high life. Her parents were killed about a year earlier under mysterious circumstances. And there are people trying to kill her. She doesn't know that, but the ASA does. And the reason she falls under their guardianship is because of that. Her father worked for the ASA. Mm. So they're looking after her. And nobody really knows why they're after her. But until, well, I would say a third of the way through the novel, this the word tontine, which at one time, David, was a real thing, and it might still be, I don't know. 200 or 300 years ago, let's just say simply a family of seven would go into an insurance agency and dump a bunch of money in the pot, and the last surviving member got all the money that had accrued, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one other thing that it became down to the last surviving direct descendant. And in this case, that's what she is, but she doesn't know it. They mm-hmm. find out about it, and her name is Shade, S-H-A-D-E, and there's a horse trainer down here, David. His daughter's name is Shaden. I just shortened it to Shade.
Who's after her? Who's trying to kill her? Do we know who the bad guys are?
We find out little by little, and that is the mystery right there. But then the tontine comes into play, and they begin to find out a little more, and that she's an heir to the tontine as a direct descendant. And these things go back 200 or 300 years. In fact, in the book about her, her family originated this tontine back in the 1770s, just to give you an idea.
There are
still banks in existence, about last count I counted four, that were around then that are around now.
1770s, that would be back at the time of the American Revolution and the first days of our country.
Yep, and that plays in it, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a secret group called the Bedford League, which I made up, but that's an actual one under another name that really happened. A lot of people don't know that there were five big-time spies for the U.S., and George Washington was one. And none of them knew the other's names except George Washington.
Mm.
And so that's where I started out with that. It was fun. I put a touch of, it's a spy mystery thriller with a touch of romance thrown in. And going back to what I said, Dave, I grew up in the 50s. And if you watched a motion picture, and there were some darn good ones then, let's say you had the man and the woman, and they were embracing, and back behind him was this big open door with a bedroom and a bed, and then the scene faded. The next thing you see is them running around next morning in their bathrobe. So you use your imagination. You know what they were doing. No.
But it
and,
was.
And that's what. Go ahead.
But it was not explicit, and that's the...
No.
Yeah.
No. I want to leave things to people's imaginations. That's what I want. And that's also briefly why I write about New Mexico, is because that's what I know. I don't know London or Paris or Moscow, and I don't think most Americans do. So I wrote about this area, and then my second novel takes place in Pittsburgh. So just to give you an idea, I try to write about what I know.
Well, take a break. We have a few more minutes to chat with Mike Curran. He's visiting with us from New Mexico. And we do apologize, but we have a little bit of a delay in our phone hookup today, and that happens every once in a while. It's no problem. Quick break for a message or two, and we'll be back to chat more with Michael Curran here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR, back after these words.
It's football season, and you need to get your game on at Sir Speedy Printing Center. That's right. You'll score big when you brand your business with custom-printed banners for events, direct mail pieces, or travel marks, pens or cap sticks for clients. Need to order forms, envelopes, or brochures? Free quotes available at Sir Speedy. They can also do bulk mailing, so you don't have to. Are you working on the school or church fall fundraiser? Get a quote for raffle tickets at Sir Speedy Printing Center on South Main Street in Butler. And then you'll feel like you scored big time with the quality and service they provide.
Enjoy a delicious meal and put on your dancing shoes at the All Request Dinner Dance with Mr. 60s this Saturday, September 14th at the Tanglewood Center in Lindora. Chef George will be cooking up a delicious harvest stuffed chicken breast, a California vegetable medley, and caramel apple pie for dessert just for $20. Doors open at 6, dinner by Chef George at 7, and dancing starts at 8. As always, it's BYOB. Call 724-287-0021 for tickets.
Vehicle accidents often involve damage to utility poles, and with it comes the chance for downed power lines. Hello, I'm Dylan Link, Manager of Safety and Loss Control for Central Electric Cooperative. If you encounter power lines on the ground or sagging low, stay away and warn others to do the same. Always contact 911. Remember, lines do not have to be sparking to be energized. If your vehicle comes in contact with a downed power line, remain in the vehicle and wait until the utility crew arrives to de-energize the line. Warn others to stay away. Only exit the vehicle in case of a fire. Do so by jumping out and away from the vehicle with both feet together. Continue hopping until you're at least 30 feet away. It is important to consider all downed wires energized, as telephone or cable wires may have come in contact with power lines. At Central Electric, safety is everyone's responsibility. I make safety a top priority because my wife and I are welcoming our first baby, and I never want to miss a single moment of him growing up. Why do you? This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey, and this is the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. We're chatting with Michael Curran, former newspaper writer and journalist, now an author, and a man who, although he now lives in New Mexico, and he has for more than a decade, he lived in the Butler area for some 25 years previously. The title of his first novel is Connor Race, The Tontine Plot. There's one of the main character, Mike, that I want to mention from your book, and that's Mr. Marco, a mysterious character. Who is he, and how does he figure in here?
Well, he's part of the mysterious crowd, and you're right. He's the boss, the big boss, and people listen to him because he knows what he's doing. And although they might not, they trust him. So when he sends them on a mission, they know that he's thought it all out, planned it all out, etc. But the other thing, the last part, is that this area has a lot of history. And I wrote the culmination of the novel takes place in a place called Gran Quivira. And it's the only thing there are 1650 Spanish ruins. And believe me, it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's kind of neat just to go up there and sit and listen to the quiet. And it's hard to explain unless you've been here, but I think more Americans can identify again with New Mexico than they can with Moscow. That's just my opinion.
Well, I would agree with you. Tell me, what's it like in New Mexico? What's it been like this summer? Has it been blazing hot down there on a pretty regular basis, or no?
No. It goes about 80 in the daytime with no humidity, and then at night it goes to about 38. I'm guesstimating that now.
What about the topography? A lot of us think of New Mexico as one vast desert, but it's actually quite mountainous, is it not?
Ruidoso here where I live, it's noted for two things. They have a big horse racing track with the biggest horse racing purse, $3 million. That's quarter horse. And they have a Ski Apache, which is, that mountain's 12,000 feet. So,
pretty high up.
It takes you a while to acclimate yourself.
Ruidoso is
nice, and there's...
Ruidoso is the name of the city in which you live. Is that a Spanish word? Do you know what that means?
I have no idea. You stumped me there. it's a town, really. I've got about 9,000 people, except when horse racing occurs and skiing, which, again, are big things down here. Yeah, people come from all over. And I like the people. It took me a while, but they're very nice and helpful. And I couldn't have done this without people that believed in me and supported me. There's no way I could have. I'm a very fortunate person in that I'm writing because that's what the gift that I think was given to me. Because I can't do anything else. I can write.
Is there still a great Hispanic influence in your area, or is it mostly people that have moved there from other parts of the country?
No, it's Spanish and Mexican. And huge influence, yeah, sure. And if you like Mexican food and chili hot peppers, this is the place for you.
What about architecture? Is it typical Spanish architecture in many of the homes and buildings?
Not modern wise. They're just like kind of modern now, but yeah, years ago it was. Mm-hmm. Like these Spanish ruins. They're really very nice. Nice place to visit. But there are other things going on here too. Horse racing draws a lot of people from across the United States here.
When I hear you talk about Spanish ruins, I picture in my mind's eye, you know, abandoned missions and, you know, haciendas and that sort of thing.
That's true. That's all true, Dave. That is true. But, you know, it's kind of nice. It's different, but it's nice. But then so again is Western Pennsylvania. And I mean that. Okay? And I'm glad I'm from there, really.
You said you had another novel, a second novel in the works. Can you tell us, can you give us a little hint about that, what that one's all about, Mike?
Yeah, the second one is, but I'm thoroughly way through it, which, by the way, when I finished the first one, I swore I would never do another one. Well, but 2 or 3 months later, I started this second one. It's called Connor Race, Justifiable Suicide. And the majority of it takes place in western Pennsylvania and parts of West Virginia. So we'll see what happens there.
Obviously, you have recurring character, Connor Race. Is he still a covert operative for the ASA?
Yeah, he's still there with a few of the people that survived the first one. And I just want to say that there are female agents that are just as tough as the male agents, but not like in dissimilar ways. Let me put it that way. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they don't take any guff. Like the romance that he struck up with Connor and this Navy nurse that brought him back from being shot, that's a recurring thing throughout the novel. And that.
Do you write on a regular basis? I've talked to authors who get up in the morning early and they write for 2 hours and then that's it for the rest of the day. I've talked with other people who just kind of write as the spirit moves them. What about you, Mike? How do you do it?
Well, I fall more on the latter because I tell you, this nonfiction, I would wake up from a dead sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning with notes I had to take. You know, ideas. And so I had to keep a pad and a pencil right by me. But it's kind of neat. I like it. But again, I say that's about all I can do. You know, I was given this gift, if you want to call it that. And I'm kind of happy with it. I'm very happy with the fact that I finished it. That was my first sigh of relief.
I love a good mystery thriller, such as Connor Race, The Tontine Plot. Do you have an outline, Mike, that you go by, or does it just kind of, the storyline just kind of grows as you move along, or do you kind of know where you're going?
You know, Dave, that's a good question. I never wrote from outlines, ever. I had it in my mind where I wanted to start, and I had, you know, most of it planned where I wanted to go with it. And that's just the way I write. Well, I guess a better way is to do it through college classes where you, you know, outline and everything. I never did it, even in high school. I don't know. But this is a good place to write, and there's some other authors down here. And we get along, most of us, and that. But I like a good mystery, and I don't like having to throw in car chases, unnecessary violence, when it has nothing to do with the story, really. In my opinion.
We're talking with Michael Curran. Mike is an author. His first novel is called Connor Race, The Tontine Plot. Is it out in hardback or paperback, Mike?
Both. And both on Amazon.com, books, and Barnes & Noble, and others. Other places, too.
Indeed, others. I was looking online, and I saw your book available at Waterstones, which is it's a British-based bookstore, so you're over there. Not only that, I saw a review of your book on a website in Australia, believe it or not, Mike.
Get out of town.
No kidding.
Get out of town.
I did, yes, yes.
Well, that's nice to hear. Isn't it like this is a first-time experience for me? And when I finally finished it, I called up my former managing editor, and I said, okay, Marty, I'm done. He said, no, you're not. You just began.
Well, who knows?
Boy, is that the truth.
You may have a second and very successful career. Do you ever come back to Butler, Mike, or no?
I have never been back, and not for any reason. I don't know. They call this the land of enchantment, and some of us call it the land of entrapment. Kind of an inside joke down here, but I'm just busy with my writing, you know, my thoughts, and so I haven't gone back. And that night, I do miss my friends. I miss the restaurants, really.
I saw a license.
How I could tell.
I saw a license plate on a car, a license plate from New Mexico a couple of weeks ago, and it's the first time I ever remember seeing one. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a darn nice state. I mean, it's huge. Geographically, it's huge. But population-wise, it equals about West Virginia, about the same size,
mm-hmm.
population-wise. But that's it. It's a nice place to visit, and if you ever want to come during racing season or ski season,
well,
or any time.
It's been a delight to talk to you, Michael Curran. It's a wonderful human interest story, a former resident of the Butler area for many years, about 25 years. Mike lived on Criswell Road, moved to New Mexico about a dozen years ago, and he's now writing novels. Once again, the title of his first novel, which is out now, available in either paperback or hardback, Connor Race, The Tontine Plot. Mike, a delight to chat with you.
Yeah.
Thanks for spending some time with us here today.
David, thanks so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
And if you're looking for Michael Curran online, his last name is spelled Curran, but you can Google the title of his book, Connor Race, The Tontine Plot, and you can find him handily. Enjoy the rest of your day, Mike.
Yeah.
Good to talk with you today.
And same to you and the people in Butler, okay?
All righty. So long now.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Blind. She was my woman. As she deceived me, I watched and went out of my mind. Waiting. I crossed the street to her house and she opened the door.